This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We begin the second hour heading into Sports Talk at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And there's a lot to cover. We're going to get back to a prediction that Barrett Slee made on CBSSports.com with Tennessee and the SEC this upcoming year. Before that, Brett McMurphy shared an information that he has received. It's a three-page letter obtained by Stadium, where Brett McMurphy works, with Power 5 league commissioners asking Congress to enact clear national policy on name, image, likeness, and not wait for the NCAA process to conclude. And within the letter, it states, quote, so there will be uniform national standard that will preempt state name, image, likeness laws. Time is of the essence here. So the conference commissioners have said, hey, we need to get something done more quickly, and let's not wait for the NCAA process to conclude, as the NCAA has kind of left things up to states right now. So what do you think there, Heather? The Power Conference commissioner saying, hey, let's try to get things going a little more quickly here with name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, I think I think it's the right approach. I think in all honesty, you would rather – I was listening to a great interview from Bruce Feldman with West Virginia's head football coach earlier this week, and he's like, it's not a matter of if this is going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And we have chosen the approach that we're not going to complain about it. We're going to embrace it. And we're going to do everything to empower our players. They're hiring like marketing consultants and different things like this. So I honestly think if more of these people take that approach, stop thinking of how can we stop this and start thinking of, okay, how can we use this to our advantage? How can we truly help our student athletes? And how can all of us end up making money? I mean, it's not a bad thing if everybody's making money. So I just feel like if people have more of that approach of, okay, this is going to happen, let's approach it from a position of positivity rather than, you know, just complaining, not having any power, I think that's the best way to go about it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be looked at such a negative. And by the way, I don't think that it is at this point. All the polls show that easily the majority of people are either in favor of it or fine with it.
You know,
in terms of athletes being able to profit off name, image, likeness.
Yeah, you know who still doesn't like it? Like university presidents and athletic directors, like the old guys in the room. In all honesty, that is still who's clinging on, because the Audible also on their podcast like 2 weeks ago. It was some representative from, it was Bubba Cunningham from North Carolina. And he was like, I just don't know how this is going to work. I mean, he was very anti. He goes, are they professionals now? Are we going to go to a pro model? I was like screaming into my phone. And I think I texted you about this. I was like, they're not pros. They're not going to go through free agency. They're not going to unionize. This is the Olympic model, people. It's not the professional model. And guess what? It's not the amateur model. It's the Olympic model that already exists that will be adopted for all student athletes.
Yeah, the amateur model, to me, doesn't even make any sense as a, quote, model. I think it's just a word that's thrown in front of the word model without anybody even knowing what it means at this point. So we're moving forward. It's a matter of when, not if, athletes at the college level will be able to profit off their name, image, likeness, and what all they will be able to do right away. We'll see. That part could be a gradual process as well. Last hour, we talked to Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com, and we talked to him about some of his predictions for the upcoming season in the SEC. On the Western side, in the West Division, he has Alabama going a perfect 12-0 this year. Alabama's going to be a popular pick again to win the conference and to win a national championship. He has Alabama at 12-0, Auburn 10-2, 6-2 in conference play, LSU at 9-3, same record as Texas A&M. In the Eastern Division, Barrett is picking Florida to go 11-1, 7-1 in the conference, and Georgia to go 10-2, 6-2 in the conference, and then Tennessee at 9-3, 6-2. And I believe that one loss by Florida would be to Tennessee. So 9-3 for the Vols, 6-2 in conference play with losses to Georgia and Alabama. What do you think of that prediction with Tennessee 9-3, 6-2 in the conference?
I think it's possible, and I told you earlier, I don't know if I just had a really good workout this morning or the fact that it's Friday and it's sunny has completely jaded my thoughts, but the more I think about it, the more I think about the stability that Tennessee has with returning starters, a returning quarterback, a returning offensive coordinator, a returning defensive coordinator, the fact that they have so much of that stability and other programs in the SEC East don't, it makes me, one, believe that Tennessee can beat the teams that they're, quote unquote, supposed to beat now. Okay, you know, you're supposed to beat South Carolina. The reason why I'm not worried about that game, look back to Will Muschamp when he was at Florida. He had the 4-8 season. He followed that up by barely bouncing back and having a 6-5 season, then ends up getting booted. So at South Carolina last year, he goes 4-8. What is he looking at? Like, how big of a jump with a staff overhaul can he truly make? So I feel confident about Tennessee taking care of the South Carolina game. The other game that's going to be tricky that they, quote unquote, should beat is going to be Kentucky. And we talked about that, you know, coming right before Georgia. They're going to have to be focused. Jeremy Pruitt's going to have that team ready. I'm still going to defer at this point in time and take Tennessee. So now you're talking about they're beating the teams that they're supposed to. Can they knock off one of the big four? Could that be Florida, like Barrett was talking about? Could it be Georgia, like I'm talking about? I don't know. I'm not ready to call which game it's going to be. But there is going to be somebody that I think falls victim to the Vols this year that should beat them.
Okay, so you're all in or close to it with Tennessee beating one of the big four this upcoming year.
Yeah, I think so. Blame it on summer. Blame it on the sunshine. I don't know. But I feel like I'm looking at it level-headedly. You know what I mean? Like I'm giving you tangible evidence of this is why I believe Tennessee will be successful. One, I feel like they just are on a right path right now, and I am going to choose to believe in that path until they prove me wrong. So maybe at the end of the season, you're talking about, Heather, you were crazy back in May to say they were going to go 9-3. But the closer we get to football and seeing just all the evidence laid out on the table in front of you, I feel like the picture is becoming more clear about them being able to knock off one of the big four.
Does the fact that they haven't come all that close to doing so yet affect your thinking?
I'm going to say no, because it's a new year, and the fact that stranger things have happened. I mean, nobody predicted the jump that Joe Burrow was going to make at LSU before last season. Nobody predicted that. And I'm not predicting a Jarrett Garantano huge jump and all of a sudden he's in the running for the Heisman.
Right.
But if he just eliminates last year and goes back to the year before and completes a few more passes, a few more touchdowns, I mean, he has a solid resume. We have seen him play really good before. If he can just be more consistent, he doesn't have to be a superstar. I think he has that in him. Now, if you told me the only way they can go 9-3 is if Jarrett Garantano has a Joe Burrow-like season, of course I would say, okay, there's no way they can do it. It's going to be 8-4.
Well, if he has a Joe Burrow-like season and they only go 9-3, that would be disappointing.
Yeah, no kidding. But you get what I'm saying. That dramatic of a jump. I mean, to get that incrementally better, that would just be hard to predict.
Yeah, no doubt. He plays a role, though, right? And if Tennessee's going to beat one of those big teams, then he's going to have a big game against one of those teams, right? Like Tennessee, we talked about the most important win. That's a debatable subject. I don't think it is debatable what is the best team that Tennessee has beaten under Jeremy Pruitt. That's Auburn on the road.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And Garantano had a big game. He was receiving national recognition that week. So something like that probably has to happen for Tennessee to beat Florida, which is going to have a high-powered offense, or Alabama, which is Alabama, or Georgia on the road, or Oklahoma. You're trying to beat Lincoln Riley and put up more points than them. You're probably not going to do that with Jarrett Garantano going 11 of 21 for 200 yards.
Could you have a Missouri-type game against Oklahoma? Like, Oklahoma's going to get their points, but if you have Jarrett Garantano having that Missouri-like a performance, that could even mean something.
I think that would mean two things. One, Tennessee could have a chance to win the game. Two, Oklahoma's not winning a national title if their defense gives up those kinds of numbers like Missouri's defense did against Tennessee.
Yeah, it would definitely be a struggle, but Big 12.
They might win the Big 12. They're not winning the national title with that kind of defense.
Well, they haven't won it to date yet, so yeah. You never know.
All right, we'll come back more on Tennessee. What about 9-3? We'll see what Will Shelton's confidence level might be in that when he joins us at 1:30. We'll catch you up on the news of the day in the state of Tennessee as we get ready to head into the month of June. When we come back, right here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Two sports animal OGs have teamed up for the next phase of Sports 180. Now back to the show. Here's Josh Ward and Heather Harrington.
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app, and you can listen on the go anytime. Alongside Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward, and we are pleased to welcome to the show Alex Abernathy from News Talk 98.7 WOKI, our sister station, keeping us up to date on what's going on in the state of Tennessee, locally, and with the COVID-19 coverage. We say hello, Alex. Good afternoon. How are you, and what's the latest out there?
Good afternoon, Josh. I'm doing well, and I'm doing better after Sam Foreman brought us in with Stacy's mom as the bumper music right there. The Knox County Health Department has released the latest COVID-19 numbers for today. There are 375 confirmed cases. That is up 8 from yesterday. 49 of those cases are active. That is up 2 from yesterday. And 321 people have recovered, so we have 6 more recoveries than yesterday. We have 3 people in the hospital, that's up 1 from yesterday, and we still have 5 total deaths connected to COVID-19. No change there. We haven't seen a death in weeks related to COVID-19 here in the county, so of course, that is a great sign. Just finished up the Knox County Health Department briefing. Same old for the most part today. Do have a couple notes jotted down. Charity Menifee was the representative for KCHD today, and she took a minute out of the beginning of her press conference really to emphasize the fact that if you feel sick, whether you think it's COVID or not, go to the hospital. She emphasized that the hospitals are clean, the hospitals are safe. If you feel like you need to go to the hospital for something, you should go and you should not be afraid of that. And I know from talking with different health executives from across, not just here, but across the South, that numbers for people coming into the hospital with heart attacks, seizures, and other of those type of symptoms are way, way down, down 60%, but dead on arrival people to the hospital are up 70% right now. So they attribute a lot of that to fear of people going to the hospital. So Menifee really drove home the fact that you should not be afraid. If you feel sick, if you feel like something's wrong, please, please, please go to the hospital. A few other things from the briefing today. She said we don't have any what she called hot spots in the county, which means there's no one area that she can point out and say that is an area where there are a lot of people infected with COVID-19 right now. She said our cases are pretty spread out, which is a good sign, but it also serves as a reminder that anyone and everyone can be at risk here, so we still need to follow the guidelines that have been given by KCHD. She was also asked why we tend to get so many cases at once. As you guys remember, a couple weeks ago I was reporting, hey, we don't have any cases. Hey, we only have one case. Hey, only 2 cases. But then recently we've been getting more and more. Basically, she downplayed that again today. But she made the point that whenever we get those type of tests in clusters and days, what that means is that KCHD is doing their job, because their job is to test, it's to seek out the cases and be able to quarantine those people who test positive. And so they're doing that through the contact tracing that we talked about yesterday. So if you test positive, they get into contact with people that you have been in close contact with, and then they start testing those people. So that is why we see 8 cases in a day like we do today, 14 cases in a day like we did yesterday, because they're doing their job, they're doing the contact tracing, and they're being able to seek out these cases throughout our community. And lastly, that's a good sign that they're doing their job. Bill Lee talked about how Tennessee is one of the best testing states in the country yesterday. He said other governors have reached out to him and talked about how they are envious of our testing situation here in Tennessee, how our citizens have responded, how our government has responded. Tennessee as a whole is in a really good place right now. We've tested 6% of the state population. And if you'll remember, a month and a half ago, the federal government said that they wanted each state to be able to test 2% of their population. So Tennessee has blown that out of the water. Knox County continues to test at a high rate. And all in all, we seem to be in a very good place right now going forward. So guys, our COVID-19 coverage is brought to you by Advanced Heat, AC, and Plumbing. As always, your family's comfort is their family business.
All right, Alex Abernathy, News Talk 98.7 WOKI. Quick sports question before you go. We've tossed this around over the last hour or so, Alex. Barrett Salee has predicted Tennessee will go 9-3 this upcoming year, 6-2 in the SEC. Heather now is on board. Tennessee 9-3 this upcoming season. Are you on board for Tennessee to increase its regular season win total from 7-9 this upcoming fall?
I am not jumping on the 9-win train. If you said 8 wins, I would go on that train because I remember when the schedule dropped, I ran through it, and I, just like everybody else did, ran through my calculation. You win this game, you lose this game, so on and so forth. And I can't run through it with you right now, but I know that my total number came out to 8 wins this season.
And I feel like that's the safe pick. I really do. I feel like you're going out on a limb if you're going to say 7-5 or 9-3. You're either being negative or you're being positive, and I don't know. I just feel like I laid out some info earlier. I feel like this is the year for Tennessee to take that step.
So you said you laid out some info. What would you say was your number one point as to why Tennessee is going to reach 9 wins?
Well, one, because they're going to take care of business because of the state of Missouri, South Carolina. Those games, I think they take care of business against those teams. Kentucky will be a toss-up, and that'll be a tough one to win, especially they're playing it the week before Georgia. But because they take care of business in the games they quote-unquote should win, they will also have the ability to knock off one of the big four, and I think they do that.
Do you know which one of the big four, or are you just saying one of the big four?
I've got it narrowed down to either Florida or Georgia. I'm leaning towards Georgia, and Josh thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
I think if I had to lean to one of those, I would also lean Georgia, but I'm not jumping on any of them, which is why I'm saying 8-4.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of kooks over here, Josh.
Well, that's look, if Tennessee beats Georgia, that's a big story here at Knoxville, and you can do a victory lap if I told you so on that one. I'm not ready to shoot down the Georgia Bulldogs quite yet.
No, I totally get that. I think the safer pick would be Florida, but I believe in stuff that's on the peripheral and not just on the field. And there's that mental hurdle is just one of those things that why I cannot pick Tennessee to beat Florida right off the bat.
Yep, that's understandable. Alex, we appreciate the time. As always, remember, newstalk987.com is a website to keep bookmarked. They've got information for you continuously there, and we'll a little later this afternoon on the Sports Animal as well. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, guys.
Right here on Sports 180. We'll talk more Tennessee football. What about 9-3? Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. I'm sure he would love to see it. A lot of Tennessee fans would love to see it this year. We'll talk about it with him coming up next. The possibility of Tennessee jumping up to 9-3, 6-2 in the SEC. By the way, that would have Tennessee tied for second place in the SEC East. In Barrett's scenario, he does have Florida winning the East, which I'm sure you don't want to. But 9-3, progress. We'll talk about the idea of it coming up next right here on Sports 180. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Hey, this is VFL Joshua Dobbs, and we're counting it down. It's just
99 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go home!
Back on Sports 180, thanks for hanging out with us today as we head into the second half of Sports 180 on this Friday afternoon. Find us on the WNML app and online, 991thesportsanimal.com. And we are pleased to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline. And welcome to the show, Will Shelton of GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, good afternoon. We appreciate the time as always. And we have discussed the possibility of Tennessee making a pretty sizable leap from last year to this upcoming year, and that's getting to 9 regular season wins. It has been more than a decade since Tennessee has been able to do that. Will, can you buy in right now? What kind of chance, at least, would you give Tennessee to be able to make the jump to 9-3 in the regular season this year?
Well, let me say, first of all, if you ask me this question in August, I'm sure I'll be at 9 wins by then. That's kind of how this goes, right, as we ramp it up. Yep. as it goes through the offseason. I think the most level conversation I think that Tennessee fans can have with it now is to say, all right, if it's 8-4, is that saying an 8-4 is you get one of those big four games, Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, but then you stub your toe somewhere else. And like that's kind of where I am today. I think Tennessee is going to. I think that it would be really good for Jeremy Pruitt, you know, for them to get one of those big four games. And at the same time, are we ready then to say they did it last year after Georgia State and BYU, obviously, but they did it in the SEC last year where they beat everybody else that they're supposed to beat. Are we ready to say, all right, Tennessee's going to do that again now? And I don't know. That's something that Tennessee really struggled to do throughout the last 10 to 12 years, is to run that table of South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas certainly would be in there this year with the quality of opponent that is. Can they do that 2 years in a row? The one thing about it is, like, if you're looking for a trap game on Tennessee's schedule, a lot of those options, Missouri, you get them the week after Florida, that's a first-year coach. South Carolina, Tennessee and South Carolina play each other. Both of them have a bye week the week after that game. So Tennessee and South Carolina catch each other at the end of a gauntlet. Kentucky is the most trappy. It's the trappiest game on Tennessee's schedule, but it requires you to believe that Kentucky's going to beat Tennessee in Knoxville, and we haven't seen that since the 80s. So I don't know. I think 8-4 is still, like, that's the good place to – that's the reasonable place to live right now. But I think Tennessee – I think it's a good expectation to say, all right, let's get one of these four games. And then when you try to find the loss to bring it back from 9-8, the schedule in this case I think works in Tennessee's favor. So, yeah, if it's 9-3, any way you slice it, that's a great job by Jeremy Pruitt and these guys here in year three.
I definitely agree with you. Earlier this week, Will, Tom Fornelli, he's circling the Alabama game as one of the big four, his most likely for Tennessee to pull off an upset, and he gave some interesting reasoning behind that. When you look at the big four, which one do you maybe have circled as, hey, if Jeremy Pruitt has his team ready to go, this team better look out?
I still think now, here coming into the end of May, I would still go with the Gators at number one. And again, I know that's what we do as Tennessee fans, is convince ourselves that we're secretly better than Florida and we should stop losing to them and get the job done this time. But I think that's the one where the talent differential is probably closest. And I think it's one where it's just hard to take a lot from. The Jeremy Pruitt two games against the Gators have been really strange. One for the on-field stuff 2 years ago in Knoxville, where they just turned it over every other play. And then last year, kind of with everything that was happening with Tennessee in September. So today, I would still say Florida is most likely. I mean, it still seems like you're going to get a pretty good head start on Oklahoma in terms of getting players back in official workouts and that sort of thing. So let's see. That one may creep up the list a little bit as it goes. And Alabama, if you're looking for a trap game on Alabama's schedule, it is Tennessee, because the Vols get the bye week. That's the end of a long stretch of games for them. Certainly a game Tennessee had a chance to be in last year as well. So, the Georgia game, I don't hear anybody saying that. And that's in part because just where it is on the schedule, and we're not used to that, obviously, because it's the first year Tennessee and Georgia have played each other in November, but it's just so hard to say, here's what we can expect from two teams that are going to meet in the second week of November. You know, we need to see a lot of football between now and then. So I think I'd be curious, but I think for most Tennessee fans, we're still going to default to the Gators for now. It seems outrageous to say, yeah, it's Alabama, like given the way Saban has run it down there for a long time now. But that would at least be in the conversation just specifically because of the schedule and the good job Tennessee did down there in Tuscaloosa last year.
We're talking to Will Shelton of Game Day on RockyTop.com. Will, on the basketball side, what do you think about the position that Eve Pons is in, where this NBA draft process is different from any other year? The draft's not going to take place in late June as expected, so he's trying to make a decision what to do. And then from Tennessee side, the importance of having Eve Pons back. How would you describe that part of it?
Yeah, from Tennessee's side, I mean, there's nobody – you can't replace him as far as we know, unless it's going to be Corey Walker coming in there. What he does is particularly irreplaceable, just that freak athleticism, shot blocking, all that stuff. I mean, if he goes, that's a hole you're just going to have a hard time filling defensively. And I think it drops Tennessee's ceiling if you have him not on the floor. I feel bad for him because, I mean, what kind of decision are you supposed to make in this time? If we're if in football we're making the argument over and over that, oh, these guys should go ahead and commit to Tennessee early, commit to your team early, get it locked in, that sort of thing, then, hey, I mean, maybe there's an argument if you're Pons using that same logic to say maybe he should declare for the draft. If he's got any chance at being selected, you know, late first round, early second round, just takes one team to really believe in your upside, and he's got plenty of upside, then, you know, like, I get it. I get that sense. I think everybody, when you hear Barnes kind of talk around it, I think everybody understands his offensive game could really use a leap. If he could show what he showed at Kansas last year on a much more regular basis, then, I mean, he's a first-round pick for sure if he can display that sort of talent and skill on a regular basis. But it's just hard to know, and I think it's going to be hard to know for a while. So for him and anybody else that's kind of on the fence like that, you just feel for him. And I think any decision he makes, you could kind of understand it either way. But, yeah, for Tennessee's ceiling, you just don't replace him. I mean, you would need more from Tennessee offensively for sure next year if you're not going to have that guy out there to be able to really take away some of what the other team wants to do.
You're not supposed to say that out loud, Will. We want him to come back. No, I'm just kidding. But no, you're right. The thing about it is, with Eve Pons, the athleticism is there, the defense is there. It's just his offensive skill set. And if you are a team looking at him in the NBA, do you just automatically think, oh, we can give you that? You let us draft you, we can give you that. Do you think that NBA teams are thinking he is a commodity at this point?
I think enough of them would look at, again, they're just stuff he does, and it's stuff on film that he does with shot blocking and athleticism that not everybody, even at this elite level of basketball, he can do some things that not everybody can do. So I think that there's plenty of guys that, you know, that belief, hey, we can teach you to knock down a three more efficiently. We're not going to ask you to be a primary option in our offense, so you'll get more open looks, that sort of thing. I think from Tennessee's perspective, you know, it makes me think of the conversation they had about Kyle Alexander, where they would have loved to have redshirted him but didn't have the opportunity. But Barnes and these guys make players better. I mean, that's what they do. Everybody that sticks around here gets better, and many of them now, you know, get to or project to the NBA. We saw that last year with Fulkerson, certainly. So I think just kind of applying what we've seen Barnes do with other guys – to one more year of Pons, especially when, you know, it's everybody's assumption is Tennessee's going to have lots of different options of ways to score the basketball themselves next year that could really create a lot of good looks, a lot of opportunity for Pons to really make a name for himself. So, you know, again, it only takes one, and there are plenty of guys who go pro early, football and basketball, who tell themselves, well, it only takes one, and then they don't find that one. So, that would be the last thing you'd want for him is to jump early on this because things are uncertain, but it ends up being the wrong decision and then nobody takes you. And, you know, certainly he's an international player. I'm sure he would be comfortable going back to France or wherever and playing basketball and certainly could do well there. But, it seems like it would be in his best interest to come back to Tennessee if they've got any kind of guarantee that, hey, yeah, we're going to play basketball here regularly going forward and that sort of thing.
Will Shelton, game day on RockyTop.com. Will, before you go, tomorrow's Vol Network Classic that we're going to run on the station, we're doing it every Saturday, is the 2006 Tennessee win against Georgia, 51-33. What stands out to you about that game? How incredible was that fourth quarter in Tennessee's win against Georgia?
Yeah, this is my favorite conversation about that game is what's a more dominant fourth quarter than that game against a good opponent on the road who at the time, Tennessee won in Athens the last time they were there in 2004, but other than 04, Georgia had won every game in that decade in that series, four out of five at that point. Like, beating Georgia was a nice thing in that moment in time in Tennessee history. And so I think that, you know, they scored four touchdowns in that. I think it's four touchdowns, two turnovers, and a block punt. Like, pretty good on the road at a top 15 Georgia team in a game you were down 24-7 earlier. So there are some others, like the 2016 Florida game certainly would be in the conversation, but Tennessee gets that going with that touchdown pass to Wolf is midway through the third quarter. So, like, the thing has already started rolling in a sense there. Just for what happens in those 15 minutes, to me, I think it's at the top of the list of what Tennessee has done against a really good team in just sheer dominance in every phase of that game. So we put that, I think, on our list back when all this started a couple months ago in terms of rewatchable games, rewatchable beatdowns of like, hey, maybe you haven't thought about this game in a while, but man, this was a lot of fun in the moment and just, I mean, truly an avalanche of what Tennessee did to those guys in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that is our game tomorrow, the 2006 Tennessee win against Georgia. And you got the SI cover with Wardlow, right? I mean, just incredible what came out of that game as well. So you can hear that on the Sports Animal tomorrow with the Vol Network Classic. What's going on at game day on RockyTop.com?
So our preseason magazine is officially a thing that's going to happen, and it's starting today. You can order it from us. It'll be on shelves wherever you listen to this in East Tennessee in late June. There'll be fewer copies of it on shelves just with uncertainty and everything going on in the world. So the best way to get it is to get it from us. That's the fastest way to get it. So folks can order that starting today, right now, starting about a couple hours ago on our website. As always, that thing is more than 100 pages, no ads, all Tennessee and the SEC. We're really proud of this thing. So folks can go to our website and find that. I wrote some more yesterday just about, again, if we're talking about Tennessee trying to get one of these games in the fall, the fact that 2015 is the only season where Tennessee has not lost a three-possession game since 2001. Like, just being in these things, we talked about this a little bit last week and wrote on it some last week, just coming to kickoff and thinking, yeah, we've got a chance to beat Oklahoma and Alabama and Florida and Georgia. That's not something that we've seen around here really in a long time. So that is a lot of value in that, I think, too, in terms of how we're continuing to frame this conversation about what this team can be.
If you're in it, you have a chance to win it. Check out GameDayOnRockyTop.com. A lot of good stuff going on there right now, getting you ready for this upcoming football season. GameDayOnRockyTop.com. Will, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll check in with you next Friday.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Will joins us every week here on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Dropping us a little pop-up fact in with that last little bit. I didn't realize he said only one year, the 2015, since 2001, Tennessee hadn't lost a double-digit game. Wow.
Been some trying times.
As we all know. Yeah, we're not going to walk down that path today. It's too sunny and too nice outside.
That's right. We'll come back here, right here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. A lot of football talk, a lot of talk about what Tennessee might be able to do this upcoming season. A little less than 20 minutes from right now at the start of the 2 o'clock hour, here's some of our conversation with a member of that 06 Tennessee football team, Jonathan Wade, talking about that 06 Georgia game, what happened at the end of the 04 Florida game as well, and what Tennessee needs to do to try to get back to that level. That's coming up at the start of the 2 o'clock hour, right here on Sports 180 on FM 99. 9.1, the sports animal.
You.
All sports, all the time. It's not a lifestyle we chose. We were born this way. 99.1, the sports animal.
Thanks for being with us here on Sports 180. We are with you until 3 o'clock. Still a lot to get to here from Jonathan Wade at the start of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll be with you until 3. We'll hit the power pole, getting ready for the weekend. Heather, you've been a little more upbeat today. Sunny weather, weekends upon us. We're heading into the month of June. Sports are working their way back. Some things to look forward to.
Yeah, I think the fact that you've made it through another month, with this being the end of May coming up this weekend, shout out, payday, checks hit the bank account this morning, so that's super exciting. But the fact that you have other sports resuming, you know, Korean baseball, no major setbacks, Bundesliga, they've had a few little hiccups here and there, but nothing that has derailed the restart. And so the fact that you can look around the world and see, okay, here's some nice little, tokens throwing you more optimism and more hope for the U.S. sports to get restarted. And, I mean, numbers have come out, and the fact that there's not major spikes, compared from the end of April to the end of May, that's just all really positive. And with players about to return to campus on the horizon here in the near future, about a week away, I mean, that there's just a lot to look forward to right now.
Yep, I think so as well. We'll get back to talk about football on the field, what Tennessee is trying to get done for this upcoming fall as well. I do want to give a mention. Here's something making a positive out of a difficult situation. This Sunday was scheduled to be the kidney walk here in Knoxville for the National Kidney Foundation, and it's gone virtual as a lot of events have had to do, but everybody's still invited. So Sunday at 2 o'clock, there's going to be a Zoom meeting, a Zoom virtual kidney walk at the National Kidney Foundation East and Middle Tennessee Facebook page. So everybody's invited to come on and quote, take part. So you can walk around your neighborhood, local park, whatever you might want to do. But just show a little support for the National Kidney Foundation. Of course, if you're interested in supporting financially, they welcome that and encourage that as well. But let's not forget about organizations that have had to fight through. I do some work with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and they had the Student of the Year grand finale last week, and that was a big hit. And the Man and Woman of the Year finale is coming up in June, and this weekend is going to be the kidney walk for the National Kidney Foundation. And if you think about patients and those who are dealing with kidney issues, you know, COVID-19 is something that can create a scary time, but also extra work has had to be done from the National Kidney Foundation, and they've done that. So this Sunday, 2 o'clock, will be the virtual kidney walk, and you can just go to Facebook and search for the National Kidney Foundation, the East and Middle Tennessee page, very easy to find, and everybody's invited to join in. You don't have to turn the camera on if you don't want to, but if you want to support, whether it's in person, quote in person, or financially, whatever the case might be, and I've had a chance to work with them the last few years, which has been a lot of fun. Rick Russo and Austin Bowling from WVLT are doing that again this Sunday as well.
Yeah, super exciting, and I love the fact that so many people have just found a way to make it work, you know, and the Kidney Foundation going virtual, but still holding their walk, still raising much-needed money, and I know when we talked to their representative a couple of weeks ago, one of the pieces of information coming out of all the COVID-19 research going on is that some people that end up having COVID-19 end up having kidney problems that didn't have kidney problems before. So this is just a very real, another reassertion like, hey, we've got to do this work and we appreciate everybody's support, but more is needed. And they're just finding a way to make this happen. So I hope they have a great kidney walk on Sunday. Are you going to be walking in your house or around your house?
You know, Kelly and I, we've built a little hiking trail in the backyard.
Nice.
So might need to incorporate this Sunday.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's cool. I've seen people like walking their steps in their house, you know, and there's been people online doing marathons in their backyard. I would get a little dizzy, but hey, more power to them. I think it's just really cool. People are finding a way to participate.
Yeah. Some driveway sprints as well. Making the most out of whatever opportunity might be there as we are seeing gyms open back up, which is a good thing for working out and all that stuff. But this Sunday, 2 o'clock, find it on the National Kidney Foundation East and Middle Tennessee page, the virtual kidney walk to support the National Kidney Foundation. So as we get ready to wrap up hour number two, a lot of the talk has been about Tennessee football. You'll hear next segment something Jonathan Wade said about who's responsible for trying to get Tennessee back to competing at a really high level, beating Kentucky and Missouri and South Carolina. Those are good things and necessary things if Tennessee's going to be at that level, but Tennessee's trying to take another step, and that's the focus this year. If Tennessee goes 8-4, if Tennessee loses to the teams that it's supposed to and, quote, supposed to as underdogs and beats the teams that it's supposed to, that's still technically progress from where you were last year. I mean, by record it would be. And I think you would be kind of stabilizing your position. You would just be showing more work to do to try to get to a championship level. If Tennessee can get a win against one of those teams, if Tennessee were to jump up to 9-3, well, that probably wouldn't result in winning the SEC East. I think it would bring credibility to what Tennessee is trying to do and would show obvious progress to Tennessee maybe having a shot to do that in 2021 or 2022.
And I think it would also show, as long as it wasn't like a fluky win, you know, you won on the last second of a possession, but say you won by a solid touchdown and were in command of the game, it would also show that maybe the gap is shrinking between Tennessee and the elites, because I think if you would have asked us a month ago, how big is the gap between Tennessee and Florida? How big is the gap between Tennessee and Georgia? it still looks pretty big, and Tennessee's going to have to go out there and prove that it's not necessarily that big. And one way to do that would be to beat one of those teams and maybe show even the guys on your roster, like, hey, listen, those are guys just like you. We recruited you for a reason, and this is the reason, to go out and beat these teams. And so I think it would mean that the gap just isn't as big as what maybe we all thought it was at the end of last season.
Yeah, I mean, among the elites over the last 2 years, there has been a very obvious gap. Competitive as Tennessee was for a portion of the time against Georgia and even Alabama, I would say, by the end, you walked out of there saying, well, that didn't go so great in the end. So Tennessee's trying to change that, and we'll have a chance against Oklahoma and Florida coming up in September. Coming up next here on Sports 180, our Sports 180 Rewind, part of our conversation with Jonathan Wade. He'll relive some of the moments from that 2006 Georgia game, the end of the 04 Florida game as well, what he remembers about that, and what needs to happen in the locker room, what the players need to do to help get Tennessee back to competing for championships in the SEC. VFL Jonathan Wade on that coming up next with 1 hour of Sports 180 remaining right here on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.